Last 6 months, we've been on this journey here together. And it started from the reflections of one man on a vacation, out on a balcony, watching squirrels under an oak tree. And from that man's reflections, we've been discussing how God has placed something in all of us. Like this acorn, we have been created for so much more. That God doesn't just see just an acorn when he looks at this. He sees an entire forest. We have been given unlimited potential to be, do, and go. And so from this series, I've been reflecting on the gifts and the potential that God has given to me. God has given me so much, from resources, gifts, talents, and abilities, and I want to be a good steward over that which he has given to me. For unto whom so much is given, of him much required. I wanted to know how to grow from this acorn to the forest that God sees. But before I could get there, before I could talk about this acorn, me, being this oak tree, before I even talk about what is my individual calling, before I talk about the unlimited potential that is in this acorn, I have to make sure that it's not rotting from the inside out.
All right.
It can have all the potential in the world, and it does. But if it's rotten, it is nothing. And so that is what we're going to dive into over the next 2 weeks. My reflections. And together, when it's all said and done, we will know how to finish strong. So over these 2 weeks, we're going to ask and answer these 5 questions. What does finish strong even mean? Whose mission am I committed? What are my obstacles? How can I finish strong? And what happens when I slip and fall? You're supposed to be cycling. Next one. Oh, you finished them all? Okay, amen. All right. So let's jump into it. What does it mean to finish strong? To finish strong is to actualize the potential that God has placed within us to be, do, and go. Specifically knowing who I'm created to be, what I'm created to do, and know where exactly I'm to go. Turn with me, if you will. If you have your Bibles, if you have your phone, swipe with me. I'm old school, so I'll be using a Bible. And turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7, verse 8. Still here turning, so I'll wait. It's also on the screen there as well. And it says this: better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Better is the end of a thing, the forest that God has placed within us, than the beginning thereof, which is the acorn. Nothing wrong with an acorn, but there's so much better in store for us than just being an acorn. But it's going to take patience to get there. An acorn doesn't become an oak tree, let alone a forest overnight. It takes time, effort, and patience for it to happen. The second half of that verse, the proud in spirit, they want it right now. And when the tough gets going, they will fade away back into the status quo. Well, I say time's up. Time's up for just knowing what to do, being excited for what to do, possibly even starting on that thing, ultimately to do nothing and to go back to your status quo. Time's up for just being concerned about me, my want, my needs, my blessing, my season, my destiny. It's no longer enough for us to stand here and say that we exist to glorify God by making disciple makers for Jesus Christ. It's time our actions actually cast the check that our mouths have written. And why is that? Because the world is watching. We just sung, "Walk in the Light." Let's actually walk in the light and not let it be just a song. Jesus is that light, and he desires that we be intentional and consistent in our efforts rather than being a forgetful hearer. So we go on to question two. Now that we know what finish strong means, to actualize on the potential that God has given us to be, do, and go. Next question I had to wrestle with was, whose mission am I committed to? Whose mission am I committed to? Am I committed to Christ's mission, or am I trying to enlist Christ to be committed to my mission? There's a huge difference with that. And for me, I was looking to have Christ be committed to my mission. It looked different ways at different stages in my life. One stage, I was a kid, and I had this unction to preach, but I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to be a pro wrestler. I would walk around the house and to all the kids in the neighborhood and say, you are looking at the next WWF champion. I had my name picked out. I knew my finishing move. I would put it in video games, and me and Malik, we would sit down and play, and I worked toward that goal. Well, God had other things in store. Then it turned into, no, God, I don't want to preach. I'll do it one-on-one. Let me just be a computer programmer. I can do everything you wanted me to be as a computer programmer. I can do that Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 or whatever, and then come on Sunday or whoever needs it, I can walk with them and show them about this God that I serve. But I was confronted. Whose mission are you going to follow, yours or mine? And so we have kind of an example of that in Joshua chapter 5. It'd be verses 13 through 14. I'll turn that myself. It'll also be on the screen as well. And it says this, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, what says my Lord to his servant? Joshua thought the mission to conquer the promised land was his and his alone to do. And he looked to enlist Christ to join him, be a part of his army, and take it over. But he was reminded this battle is not his to fight. It's the Lord's to fight. And so let's have an attitude like Joshua. That when we find out, look, this is not your battle, it's his, we bow down before him and say, yes, Lord, let me do what it is you want me to do. So what is his mission? What's Christ's mission? Simple question. As a matter of fact, I'll ask you, what was Christ's mission? Anybody, somebody, say it out. We're in church. What's his mission? Ooh, we need to go back to the fundamentals. What was his mission? Good job. Seek and save the lost. His mission was to reconcile man to God. 2 Corinthians says this, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And so do people make your heart burn? Are they your passion? When you look around, when you're out and about in the world, in the places that you are, do you look and say, that's a soul Christ loved? When you drive it down the road and a person cuts you off, do you still think Christ died for that person so that that person could be reconciled back to God? Or are we shaking our fists out the window and cursing up a storm, you know, over the gospel music you may be playing? You know. Thank you for the honesty. But really, have you lost your first love? Let's go to Revelation real quick. Last book in the Bible. I'm going to look at chapter 2. Christ says some things to the church at Ephesus that speak to this first love. And it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience for my name's sake, have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you were fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Ouch. The church of Ephesus, they done many wonderful things. Christ commends them on a lot. Their labor in his name, their patience, their ability to identify the false prophets, all without becoming weary. However, as PG would say, they settled in Haran. They got lost in the routine of things and somewhere along the way lost their first love. They lost sight of Christ's ultimate mission, and that was people. Christ warned them if they did not do the first works, their candlestick would be removed. The candlestick represents the church. That's in Revelation 1:20 if you want to look at that later. Also, I just want to say this too. If any church whose mission is anything but to seek to reconcile men with God, you're in a social club. They could be doing all the right things. They could be giving to the poor. They could be clothing the naked. They could be doing all of that. But if their mission is not to reconcile them to God, you're in a social club. All right. All right, y'all want me to move off that one. Okay, I'll move on. Listen, the potential gifts, talents, resources God has given us was all given that we go and beg them to be reconciled to God. Not just to the unsaved, though, but to the saved as well. There are Christians out there that need to be reconciled to God. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. There are people out there that will only hear your voice. So don't hide your light under a bushel. Rather, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If we don't do it, not only will we miss out on the opportunity to be used and blessed by God, worse off, souls can be damned for an eternity. So whose mission are you committed to? Are you just seeking my time, my favor? God, you promised me this big house. When am I going to have a church like Jake's? Or will you be willing to serve? Will you be willing to give up your goals and your aspirations and ask, God, who are the people whose voice that only they will hear from me? Lord, give me that love to see people just not as people that I just walk past, but to see a soul that you died for and that needs to be reconciled back to you. And so lastly, here today, we're going to answer this third question: what are my obstacles? So we have this vision. Again, we know to finish strong is to actualize on the potential that God has given us to be, do, and go. Got to ask ourselves the questions: whose mission am I committed to? Am I committed to his, or am I trying to have him on my squad? I believe Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 will answer that for us as to what our obstacles are. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I'm going to stop right there. I said earlier, the world is watching. Because of the fact everybody is watching and we know what his mission is, that is also a motivator for us to get out on the field and into the game, because there are people watching. There are those that will never say a word to you. And sometime later, they'll say, I'll give you an example of this. I had a coworker at work. I would just take my Bible and just read it, mind my own business. They weren't saved at the time. And they kind of looked at me like, why you brought your Bible here? Yeah, doesn't everybody do that? And so I would just read it. And as time went on, some 6 months later or so, they came back and said, Parker, you never guess what? Okay, what's up? I was baptized yesterday. What? You were baptized? Like, yeah, I saw you just reading your Bible, how you interacted with me, with our clients, how you interacted with people in the office, and I wanted to know more. And so I sought out some people, and then I was baptized as well. So you never know. So wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. In these verses, the Bible lets us know there are two things that can stop us from becoming the men and women God has called us to be. And those are, this is where you wait and sin. Thank you for the people in the back. Yeah, paying attention to the verse. Amen. So we're going to break this down. What is a weight? What is a weight? I've come up with, I've wrestled with that a long time. Like, what are weights? Sin is pretty self-explanatory, and we'll get to sin. But what is a weight? So I came up with this definition. A weight is anything that will distract, deceive, and or discouraging you from reaching your full potential. I'm going to say that again. A weight is anything that will distract, deceive, and or discourage you from reaching your full potential. If these are left unchecked, they will become triggers to sin. And with that, there are also two types of weight that I thought of, and those are external weights and internal. So what's an external weight? External weight, those are the things that are outside of ourselves. So relationships can be a weight. People can say, some people you hold near and dear, they can say something to you like, oh, you'll never do that. You can't amount to that. Well, that can discourage you. So therefore, it's a weight. Persecution, you lose your job. Hard times. That's a weight. And even church can be a weight. You say, how can church be a weight? Yeah, if you are doing too much in the church and they don't add or push you toward your be, do, and go, it's a weight. We appreciate your service. Thank you so much, heart and soul. But if that's not where you're supposed to be, let the person that's supposed to be there do that, and you do what it is that God has uniquely fit you to do in that space. And so then there are the internal. These are the things on the inside of us. Fear, doubt, depression, insecurities, stress. They can all be triggers to sin. So for me, one of my weights I've come to find out is stress. Don't like stress, can't handle stress. If it's stress, I want no parts of it. And there was a point 6 months ago, so right around when this started, I had a whole lot of stress at the job. And to the point where people said, man, you are not yourself. You are really not yourself. You need to take some time off from the job. And I was like, no, they look down upon that. They frown upon that at Bank of America. You take a leave. They don't, yeah, you will leave. All right. But I went against what I wanted, and I took the leave. And I went away. And that was exactly what the doctor ordered. And so as a result of that stress, how it becomes this trigger for me is I would then begin to overeat, as evidenced by my appearance. You could probably tell that. But we working on that. Amen. Amen. So that was one of the areas for me, how weight and sin come together, how it would trigger a sin in me. And so for you, it may be different. You know, you get stressed and you want to go shop. You know, if somebody tells you the wrong thing, you know, you hit the bottle. Whatever it is you have, there's weight and there's sin for all of us. And then, of course, there's sin. Sin is to transgress or break God's law. 1 John has, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So anything which breaks really these two, you can say 10, but these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you are not doing those two things, you are in sin. You are in sin. And so I have a bonus one for you. The verse has two. Weight and sin that can be an obstacle. The third one is the man in the mirror, is you. You are your own biggest obstacle. Weight and sin have no power unless we give it power. The lust and the desires in our own heart is what the devil will use to entice us and lead us astray. James has this, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And Romans 6 has this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So no one likes weight in sin. It may feel good in the moment, but then afterward it's like, I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have did that, and I feel worse off for it than the pleasure I had when I was doing it. But even though they are not pleasant at the first, they do have a better end if we can press further. These are the moments where we have to choose who we will obey, the spirit or the flesh. These are the opportunities we have for growth and development. So anyone who does any strength training will tell you there's a healthy amount of weight that you can lift for the purpose of gaining strength. If you lose, sorry about that. If you lift too much, you will injure yourself. The same holds true in our lives as well, which is why Christ had to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God knows exactly what you can handle and will not put anything on you that you cannot bear. There hath no temptation taken you, but as such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you can bear it. Amen. So what he does place on you is for the purpose of keeping you humble and always reliant on him. Remember that his strength is perfected in weakness. Amen. Summary. These are the takeaways. If you get nothing else from here today, I do want you to walk away with this here. To finish strong, again, is to actualize the potential that God has placed within us to be, do, and go. Our obstacles, weight, and sin. Weight is anything that can distract, deceive, and or discourage you. If these are left unchecked, they will become triggers to sin. And then there are the types of weights, which are internal and external weights. And to sin is to transgress against God's law. So it's important to know these things because we finish strong, because we know what's on the line. We know that lives are literally on the line. So whose mission are you for? Yours? You're trying to seek your kingdom on this earth? Or are you trying to seek his kingdom and bring his kingdom to this earth? Who is in control? Is the spirit in control? Or is it the weight and the sin that we all have? And so as we close here this morning, I just want to think on these verses in Luke. It's in chapter 14, 28 through 30. It says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest, haply, when he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." We have laid this beautiful foundation of Acorn, of knowing who we are and looking to see who we are created to be, what we are created to do, and where we are created to go, because we are made for so much more. We have laid this foundation to know that lives are on the line. So we are needed to get in the game and know who we are so we can reach those that are around us. This is our burden. This is the burden of discipleship. This is the wrestle that we have to go through every day, moment by moment. Earlier, we talked about Joshua conquering the promised land. However, the promised land that we are first called to conquer is the land of our own hearts. Instead of fighting the Hivites, the Ammonites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Philistines, we fight depression, loneliness, adulteries, thefts, you name it, on the inside and out, we are fighting it. We need to dispose that weight and sin out of the land of our heart. When we do that, we then have the tools to go help our brother do the same thing. So next week, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how exactly we do that. So let's take some action, right? We got all this. Let's take some action. Let's examine ourselves. Lamentations says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. So I'm going to ask, choose one day, any day this week, to dedicate to fasting and prayer. Whether it's from food, I know some people may have dietary things that they can't fast from food. You can fast from television. You can fast from social media. You can fast from whatever it is that is occupying a large space in your heart. And during that time, we're going to pray on these two areas. Lord, am I committed to your mission? And Lord, show me what are my weight and sin. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you.